Bible study looking at the observation of words, parts of speech. We see that basically there are eight parts of speech. We began last week looking at verbs. Verbs, of course, express action, express being, express an occurrence. So they're very important words. We looked at linking verbs. That is, it links the subject to the noun or pronoun that follows the verb. The best examples, perhaps, are when Jesus said, "I am," followed by the bread of life or the way, the truth. "Am" is a linking verb, linking "I" to the noun that follows the verb, bread or way. Again, we don't have to know that, okay, this is called a linking verb, but we should recognize them. Words "am," "are," "was," "were," "have been," "will be," those are all linking verbs, and we need to observe those. There's also auxiliary verbs, which we looked at last week, and that's basically a verb that helps another verb. Psalm 38, verse 6, the psalmist said, "I am troubled. I am bowed down." Now, "am" there, though "am" is a linking verb, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," because a noun follows "am." But in this case, it would be an auxiliary verb because a verb follows "am," or an action. So "I am troubled." Then there's transitive verbs we're not going to get into, but again, they're very important. A transitive verb basically has a receiver of its action. Someone is on the receiving end of the action. Matthew 27, verse 34, "They gave him." Gave would be a transitive verb. There's a receiver of the action. "They gave him vinegar to drink." Then there's intransitive verbs, which no receiver of the action. John 11, verse 35, "Jesus wept." There's no receiver of the action. So those are the types of verbs. More importantly, every verb, without exception, has a voice, a mood, and a tense. And it is important that we recognize voice, mood, and tense. And again, every verb has all three of those things: voice, mood, tense. So we want to look at the voice of a verb. It indicates whether the subject is, the subject of the verb is acted upon, or is the actor, the voice of the verb. There is the active voice, there is passive voice. Active voice, the subject is the one who performs or produces the action. This is very important when in our theology, it's important to recognize who performs the action, especially in the area of salvation. It's important to recognize who is performing the action. So in other words, the action is accomplished by the subject. The subject, of course, is the pronoun, usually the pronoun, the noun. Notice in Romans chapter 5, look at very familiar verses of Scripture. These, of course, are very simple to see that the subject is performing the action. Romans 5, verse 8. We'll read the verse and then we'll go back. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, just take the first part of that verse. But God commendeth his love toward us. God, of course, a noun. God is the subject. God is the subject in that statement. And he is the subject of the verb that follows, which is commendeth. In other words, he's the doer of the action. It's not us commending our love toward God. It's God commending his love toward us. He's the doer of the action. Commendeth his love. Then notice the last part of the verse, four words. Christ died for us. In that little phrase, Christ, of course, would be the subject. And there's a verb that follows. That is, he died. Christ is the subject of the verb. He's the one who died. Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again, another very familiar verse of Scripture. Again, we'll read the verse and then we'll go back. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We'll look just at the first part of that verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us. The he, of course, is a pronoun, refers back to the noun God in verse 20, the last word of verse 20. So he, or God, is the subject of the verb, is the doer of the verb. For he hath made him. Him, of course, he mentioned Christ back in verse 20, back in verse 19. That's referring to Christ. For he, God, the subject, hath made. Hath made is the verb. It's the action. It is God who is the doer of the action. God hath made him to be sin for us. Again, very important word in the Scriptures referring to God is that word hath, H-A-T-H. It shows that he is the doer of the action. You say, well, anyone can see that. Well, you would think so, but that's not the case. People all the time attribute what God does to man. And so we have to observe these things. And it's the voice of the verb that tells us this. Again, these are active voice. Notice Ephesians 1. We could go through this whole chapter, but we're not going to. But in Ephesians 1, we'll read verse 3 and then again go back. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We want to notice who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, who refers back to God the Father? You say, well, how do you know it doesn't refer back to Jesus Christ, since he was the last one mentioned before the word who? Well, it's very obvious as you read it. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So it's not Christ that blessed us here, it's God who's blessed us in Christ. But so the word who is referring back to God, the Father. He's the subject. He is the subject of the verb. In other words, he is the one who is producing the action. He is the one doing the action. And what is the verb? Hath blessed. Hath blessed us. He's the doer. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that it is God who hath blessed us. And he has blessed us in Christ. Then in Ephesians 1, verse 4. Again, we'll read the verse. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you remember back when we talked about pronouns, pronouns is one of the most important things is to keep track of pronouns. And that's not always an easy thing to do, especially when it comes to the scriptures. You get over to Song of Solomon, and I find it very difficult in some places to keep track of who. But it's important that we keep track of the pronouns. Now, we have several here in verse 4. We have he, and that's going to refer back to God the Father. Then notice what it says, he hath chosen us in him. Him is going to refer back to Jesus Christ, because again, we are blessed in Christ. And then, of course, we have the pronoun we. But getting back to the verb, the active voice, according as he, God the Father, that's the subject. This is the one producing the action. And what is the action? Hath chosen us. This is one of those instances in which man attributes the act of God to himself rather than to who it needs to be attributed to, God. It says very, very, very plainly, God hath, or he hath. Again, anytime we see those two words, it ought to get our attention. God hath, he hath. He's done something. He hath chosen. He hath chosen us. He is the producer. He is the actor. He is the one who did the choosing. And then, of course, it tells us how he did that. It tells us when he did, or tells us how he did that in him, that is in Christ. He saw us in Christ. Tells us when he did it, before the foundation of the world. Tells us why he did it, that we should be holy, without blame. That is, that we should be conformed to the image of Christ. And one day we will be completely conformed to the image of Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Again, looking at the active voice of the verb, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. First of all, we should ask ourselves, when we see that word wherein, what's he referring to? Well, it refers back to grace. Through the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, that is in grace, he hath. There again, we have he is the subject, hath is a verb, he hath made us. It is God in grace who is performing the action. In other words, it's God performing the action. How's he doing it? He's doing it in grace. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. And in the beloved, again, is referring back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the beloved. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 1. Wherein, referring back to verse 7, according to the riches of his grace, wherein, that is, the riches of his grace, he hath. He, again, referring to God. He's the subject of the verb. He's the producer of the action. He's the one doing the action. The action is, he hath abounded toward us. And he's done so in wisdom and prudence. So, in those cases, we have the active voice of the verb. We see who is performing the action. And again, this is very important. Then, of course, there's passive voice. In that case, the subject is being acted upon by an outside force or by an outside power. Now, when it comes to salvation, people mix these two all the time. Who's performing the action and who's being acted upon? And if you're going to keep anything straight, you certainly have to know who's performing the action, who's receiving the action, who's being acted upon. It's important in anything. It's especially important when we come to the Word of God. So passive voice indicates that the subject is being acted upon. Remember in Matthew, we gave the example of the transitive verb. Must have a receiver of the action. They gave him. They is the subject in that statement. They gave him vinegar to drink. He's the receiver of the action. He's being acted upon. Now, if we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we look at the active voice in that verse. But notice also in, again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we here is the subject of the verb. That we might be made. Be made is the verb. We're the subject. We're being acted upon. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We do not make ourselves the righteousness of God in him. We are made the righteousness of God. So it's very important that we see here the subject in that statement, we, is the one being acted upon. Notice Ephesians again, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now notice that phrase, very first part of the verse, in whom is referring back to Christ, the beloved. We have. Okay, we is the subject of the verb. It is the receiver of the action. We have. Have is a verb. What do we have? We have redemption. We have redemption through his blood. We're the receiver of the action. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom, again referring to Christ, also in addition to everything that's been set up to this point, we have. Again, there's we, the pronoun, which is the subject of the verb have. We have obtained an inheritance. That is, we're passive in this. We're not the producer of the inheritance. We're not even the producer of the receiving. We're passive. We have obtained an inheritance. Being, which is a verb, predestinated according to the purpose of God, of course. Ephesians 2, verse 8, very familiar verse, says, for by grace are is a verb, ye, that would be the subject of the verb, for by grace are we saved. We didn't save ourselves. We're the receiver of the action. And then lastly, in Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, the subject of the verb, who sometimes were is a verb, far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Again, we're the receiver of the action. We are made nigh. We don't make ourselves nigh. We are made nigh. So again, the voice of a verb is very, very important. You don't have to know Greek to know whether something is in active voice or passive voice. All you have to know is English. And you can see whether it's in active voice or passive voice. And again, it's very, very, very important that we recognize who is acting, who is being acted upon. And if people would just recognize that, especially when it comes to the doctrine of salvation, it would many, many errors would be avoided. If they would just recognize simple grammar. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. We thank you most of all for the blessings of salvation that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your word, the privilege that you give us to study your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would always be our teacher concerning your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us today to worship you in a way that would please thee and that would honor thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.